fans, it is Monday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo! And we just finished watching this evening's edition of Monday Night Raw, and it's time for us to gather, as we always do, for our Monday Night tradition here on Mega Powers Radio, our Raw post-show. I'll be your host for this evening festivities. I am Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio, introducing the other folks we got here tonight. First off, from across the pond in a country that many people debate about all the time and nobody will ever quite be able to figure out, Mr. Sean Walker.
Hey, hey, hey. Don't be a lemon. Be a rosebud.
Indeed. Also with us, another partier in his own right, the head of the Drew Crew, Mr. Drew White.
Oh, howdy, hey ho. How you doing, Mike Payton?
Absolutely tremendous, Drew. Glad to have you here and everyone else with us here on the NPR Raw Post Show. And also with us, the head man of SmarkOutMoment.com, the lead host of the Smack Talk podcast, the president of FanboysAnonymous.com. And I could just go on and on with a bunch of superfluous titles, but he is most known as Tony Mango.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, the 100-year intro and just, hey.
What's up? <It's> a-
Okay. And of course, least I should forget to introduce all of you, the listeners. Welcome to the Raw Post Show, the most interactive post-Raw experience available on the internet. This isn't like the one that you have on WWE Network where we just post little tweet tickers across the bottom. No, we have a phone line that you're going to be able to call in. We got the chat room scrolling with all cool people in there. Brian the Brain's already joined in. Vix also getting things rolling there as well. Oh, and gosh, I didn't even mention we had a pay-per-view last night. I guess we can't call them pay-per-views anymore. The special event, Extreme Rules. All the fallout from that and lots of other stuff from tonight's Raw. We're going to be talking about and inviting you to join the conversation. Dial in with the number, area code 760-512-7247 to get yourself in line, and the chat room, as I said, already rolling. Get your opinions out there. We'd love to hear what you got to say. But first off, let's start about what we got to say. And as I like to start, go around to all the other hosts here and ask them what the number one thing they took away from this show was. And why don't I start off with Mr. Sean, because I think I already know where you're going with this.
Number one thing, my team won. That's it. Wyatt family rule. Everybody else drools.
Congratulations.
And Mr. Adam Rose made his debut today.
Yes, he did.
It was a fun debut. It was short. It was sweet.
Drew, what was your number one thing you took from the show tonight?
Probably the opening, the semi-long, important ending of the United States Championship round by Dean Ambrose. Was that the longest U.S. Championship round in WWE?
It was the longest in the WWE, not ever, counting NWA, WCW reigns. But for WWE, it was the longest. I forget who was the second longest. Tony, you know that kind of shit. Who was it?
For WWE's time?
Yes.
MVP, I think.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, he held it for like a long time. I forget about that.
Back when he was doing the Power Ranger thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Tony Mango, what was the number one thing you took away from the show tonight?
God damn it, do I have bad luck at the beginning of Fantasy League.
Yes.
Yes.
Jeez. That was the number one thing for me.
So for those of you who don't know, we have a little wrestling fantasy league that we run amongst us here. We usually don't talk about it too much on this show. We usually go over the full results on Smack Talk, which you can find on SmarkOutMoment.com as well. However, we began our new season last night with Extreme Rules, so you'll hear us with lots of excitement about that the first few weeks and probably throughout the rest of the year as well. Full results and rules that you can check out information on that will be on KeepingKayfabe.com if you're interested in that thing. But for now, let's keep moving forward. We got another host on the line with us. I know lots of y'all be wondering where he was if he wasn't with us. So let me introduce him, Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking, Steven?
Not much. Got held up behind work, so I was running a little late on Raw, but I'm all caught up now.
Tremendous. Well, let me ask you what the number one thing you took away from the show was.
Honestly, there's nothing that stuck out majorly tonight. I found it a very bland show, and nothing struck me as really special.
That's too bad. I thought it was a fun show. I think it wasn't extraordinary, but it was a night after a pay-per-view. What the heck do you really expect?
It was better than Extreme Rules, just saying.
Oh, I loved Extreme Rules.
I loved Extreme Rules, too.
The two matches I saw were fantastic.
But, yeah, it wasn't a bad show, but nothing necessarily sticks out as the main thing to take away.
Well, let's talk about the storyline that we had running most often throughout the show, which was the continued mind games played by Kane on Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan managed to be successful in what I thought was a really kick-ass Extreme Rules match last night involving forklifts, flaming table. It was just really old school, totally bananas. I loved it. Daniel Bryan, though, not done with Kane. If you saw the press conference, people were asking if they think Kane's done with him. Daniel Bryan says, well, maybe I'm not done with Kane. Thought that was a fun little bit they had there. Lights went out on Daniel Bryan. He got chased out to his car. Stephanie McMahon is dicking him around saying, oh, I'll bring your car to you. She says he can go and then tells him he has a match that night. I think it was against Del Rio. It felt like it was an hour. That was a terrible match. Eventually, Daniel Bryan tries to leave again, but Kane ends up being in the back of the car, tries to grab Brie. Daniel Bryan knocks him out of the car and drives away. It was just, I don't know. It was fine that they want to continue Daniel Bryan and Kane. I like that Kane is continuing to be this monster. I just don't know why we needed to spread it across three or four segments.
You want to know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, like, Kane, John Cena, Zack Ryder, Eve, Torres, a little bit.
Yeah, it was a little too much. A little too much on it. You know, it was a novel idea, but when you try to overkill it, it gets dead. But I'll pass it around to you guys. Are you happy that we're going to be continuing Daniel Bryan and Kane into Payback, it seems? Did you enjoy that match that last night? I mean, don't go too deep into it because we're going to do our full reviews later on this week. But what do you expect out of this going forward? Steven?
Well, first off, the match exceeded my expectations because I was very down upon the quality of it going in, but that was a nice surprise. As far as this feud goes, though, I'd be fine with these two continuing to wrestle each other if the feud was better. And I think it's a lot to do with just which Bella is he dating again?
Brie.
Her acting is so piss poor.
Oh my gosh, that screaming was so insufferable.
Seriously, it's fucking terrible. So the less she's involved and less she's on the camera, the better. She's just really bad. As far as their match quality goes, I think it's going to go downhill from here without a gimmick, but we'll see what they do.
Tony?
I'm a little 50-50 on this. I think that it can be a good idea that they're continuing this because I don't really know what else they could do. And if you did something else, it could be worse. Kind of like being a little bit more optimistic at a pessimistic situation. But the match itself wasn't fantastic, but it was good enough that I would like to see another one between these two, but I definitely don't want to see a third one. So as long as they have a plan set for Money in the Bank, I'll sit through whatever bad acting Brie puts out there and whatever stuff that kind of evokes the Halloween series that they pull out. If they do another gimmick match that was as good or better than the last one, that'll be okay.
Drew?
Yeah, you know, they really don't have much to throw at Daniel Bryan right now because, you know, looks like Evolution's still going to feud with the Shield and Cena has his feud with the Wyatt. So there's really not much to work with right now. So I'm fine with it. It's just I just don't know how serious I could take it because it just reminds me of the piss poor Cena Kane thing they did 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't talk much about the match last night because my stream or my network wasn't really working that well, so I really can't talk much about it. But
my network,
the Drew Crew network. But it was, you know, I like the idea. It's just that it needs to play out better, and it can't be a repeat of what we saw 2 years ago.
Sean, what about you, man? You'd fill in Daniel Bryan and Kane for another month?
Seen it, done it, got the T-shirt.
You're over it?
I'm over it. I was over it before you even started.
You didn't even like the one match?
No.
Oh, man.
I'm saving it all for Smack Talk, man.
You're going to be depressing news Walker now.
Pretty much, yeah.
Depressing news wanker.
All right, guys, let's talk about the other big thing we had tonight. We had, first off, in our first segment, we kicked off the show hot with a 20-man battle royal for the United States title. Mostly just a lot of the usual suspects in there. Fandango, Big Show, Mark Henry, Ryback. You name a mid-carder, he was probably in there. Surprisingly, I think a lot of people were thinking this was going to be the debut of Adam Rose. Nope. We just got a lot of the usual names, as I said. However, the person who won it, I don't know if I want to call it a surprise. I just wish it didn't happen. I think it's more the case. Sheamus, our new United States champion. I'm extraordinarily disappointed. The first run that he had was just disappointing. And I get that Dean Ambrose hasn't been doing anything, so that's the argument people are making. Well, you might as well just take it off him. No. Why? I mean, if you're not going to do anything with Sheamus, then just keep not doing anything with Dean Ambrose. Let him have this really big legacy reign. Why the hell not? He's already there. It's not like he's going to get it any shorter and not be the longest running U.S. champion anymore. That's just my thoughts on it, though. Tony, what about you?
Well, damn it, it has to happen right after the points count, since I have Dean Ambrose on my team. As soon as they announced this, I knew that he was going to lose it. And when I saw the group of the people that were coming out, each one that passed by, I was just like, no, 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 no. Shit, there's Sheamus. From the very beginning, it seemed like he was going to win it because he's Triple H's buddy, and you watch out for your buddies. So that makes sense that he wins it above everybody else that would be possible given a shot. I mean, somebody like a Cody Rhodes could have won this, and it could have been interesting. Or, hell, even like a Mark Henry who hasn't held the title, I would have been okay with. But Sheamus hasn't been doing anything for a while, and when WWE cares about somebody and they don't have anything for them, they give them something that doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense, as opposed to pushing them off on the side like they do with the people that aren't a priority to them. So even though it doesn't look like there's a plan in place for Sheamus, I guess they just figured, you know what, let's give him the title and we can at least have him defend the title and people will try to care about Sheamus that way. I would have rather had seen Sheamus turn heel here, and maybe that could give him some kind of steam back to his character, because a babyface run is still not working for him, and they should just give up. But cool match. I always like Battle Royals, so they're fun and entertaining 9 times out of 10. Even though I'm disappointed at the outcome, that's okay.
I'm going to pull some things from the chat room here. 5 Times Combo says, I'm glad Ambrose isn't going to be champion anymore, but fuck me. Sheamus? Vix saying, I'm glad Sheamus won. Maybe a heel turn will be good. It's debatable whether this was a heel turn. I mean, you got to consider it was still a New York crowd. It was Albany, so it wasn't as hot as a New York City-ish one would be. But who knows? We'll see where that goes going forward, because I definitely don't think people are going to be enjoying Sheamus too much. I had another one up here. Brian the Brain saying it had to be a Triple H guy. But Wago, you with us? You want to give us your opinions about our new United States champion?
Yeah, I'm getting disconnected a few times, but I'm here now. And as far as Sheamus goes, I don't like him being champion. But at the same time, Dean carrying a mid-card title almost makes him... The U.S. titles has fallen so low that having him wear, it's almost a detriment to what level he's on. So I'm fine with him losing the belt at this point. As far as Sheamus goes, if it's the start of a heel turn, I'd love that, because his character's so stagnant. What would be fun, with Wade Barrett obviously getting the face reaction and Sheamus getting the heel one, if you could do a bit of a double turn and have those two go into a feud with one being Irish, one being British, I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, and those guys have a long history with each other, going all the way back to Irish Whip Wrestling when they were youngins. They're young lads.
Well, and also they had a few matches during SmackDown, and I've always enjoyed their work together, so I think that could be a good mid-card program.
I think that could be a good main event program someday, but let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Mr. Sean Walker, what do you think about our new United States champion, a person representing your side of the pond?
You know, as soon as I saw Sheamus go into that Battle Royal, I was like, he's going to win. Do you know why? Because he gets butt-fucked by Triple H.
Cool. Lots of visual.
Are they butt boys?
Oh, damn it. Damn it, Sean.
Mr. Drew, how about you? How do you like our new United States champion? I believe that he is part of the Drew crew.
Yeah. Well, first off, I want to let Tony know that they just pushed Chris Lee into a pond. That will help lighten the mood, Tony.
Good.
Because in addition to being the Raw post show, we are also the Chris Lee knows best during show.
All right, that's one. And two, I don't really hate the move as much. And, you know, some of me is like, oh, yeah, he's on my fantasy team. Yeah. But, Sheamus is an important man in the company. And I think they need to have something going for him. I mean, he does have some mainstream appeal. He's pale as hell. He does all these charity events. So I understand that, you know, he might be Triple H's buddy, but yeah, you know, he does need something to do in the time being, because I think he still has that opportunity to be a main event player, as one might say. You know, and if this is a heel turn or the beginnings of it, then yeah, you know, good for that. And when it comes to Dean Ambrose losing the title, you know, he isn't doing anything with it. I'm on the boat that if, you know, he has nothing to do with it and they have an idea of what they want to do with the title, then he should just go ahead and get off it. Because I think he's only defended it like 2 times this year. And I don't even, the title, honestly, whenever I see the title, and it's like, oh. I forgot Dean Ambrose had it, so yeah. It to me, it's just okay. And for the match itself, I always love Battle Royals. It wasn't the best one, but it was better than nothing. So yeah.
All right. Well, with that, guys, let's take the time to open up the phone lines to you, the listeners. So if you want to call in and give your opinion about tonight's Monday Night Raw, about anything else going on in WWE, the number to dial in is area code 760-512-7247. We also got the Skype line open up. So if you want to join in with that, press the little Skype icon at the top and it'll bring you in. And of course, the chat room rolling nicely as always. But let's bring on our traditional first caller here. From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Mr. JD. JD, you there?
I'm here, guys. How's it going this Monday night?
Absolutely tremendous. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
And the same to you guys as well. I have reason to be happy. My hockey team shut out the Rangers for the second time in 2 nights, and they're up 2-1. So that puts a little smile on my face tonight after all the shit that's been going down with him the last couple weeks, however. And a lot of people saying, oh, we got to bench him. We got to bench him. He's got to wake up and play better. Well, the last 2 nights, he's woken up, and now they have a 2-1 lead on the Rangers. So I'm happy about that.
Sports.
But let's get to Raw. I mean, it wasn't a bad show tonight, I gotta say. It was a bland show, if you will, as the guy said earlier. I mean, there were some parts I liked, however. I mean, obviously, the opening matchup, however, putting Ambrose in that matchup with the 20 guys, however. I mean, you knew something was gonna happen, and obviously, it was surprising that Sheamus did win the belt, however, because, I mean, at one point, a lot of people thought it wasn't gonna be him. It was gonna be someone like maybe possibly the Big Slow or Cody or Goldust. But I was a little surprised, however, when Ambrose did drop the belt, however, to Sheamus, however. And like you said, however, I mean, there is talk, however, they are trying to turn Sheamus back into a heel, however. And with the UK tour coming up in a few weeks, it kind of makes sense, however, that Sheamus gets the U.S. belt. Whether or not, and it was the tease when he did that backstage vignette promo, however, with Renee, however, is any indication, we'll have to wait and see. As far as the things I didn't like tonight, I mean, the whole Rusev thing, again, it's Drago, I've said how many times for weeks now, it's like Drago all over again. I mean, Vince should be just be totally telling Rusev and his little bimbo Lana not to say all that shit out there on television about Russia, like Mother Russia, soul superior, the soul superior. Well, guess what? If I remember hearing today, I think Vince got a little bit of heat from the Washington Post because of last night's comments made by Rusev, however, and Lana. Obviously, Rusev isn't saying
there's no such thing as bad press, man.
Yeah, well, obviously, however, Vince doesn't give a shit, apparently. He better start caring because a lot of people are going to be coming down on him big time with this whole thing. I mean, it's just, this whole thing is a waste of time. I mean, the Adam Rose gimmick, I mean, it was kind of a little humorous, however. And you couldn't tell if Zeb was dancing or not, however, because he was falling all over the place, however. But it was kind of a flat debut, I thought. It'll be interesting to see where they go from here, obviously, I mean, in the weeks and months to come. Mind you, but the main event was good, but once again, it just goes to show Triple H has to have his little butt buddies with him, and of course, screwing the Shield over, mind you, against the Wyatt Tower, because obviously Triple H loves to have Batista and Orton up his ass, basically, kissing at every opportunity. And there has been talk, and there was talk originally, however, if you recall, however, that obviously, however, Batista was not supposed to be there tonight. I mean, originally, how I guess they said it yesterday, how he wasn't supposed to be at Raw tonight because I guess he needed his time off, how to promote his movie, if you will. And as I've said for weeks on end, how Batista's just been a freaking joke ever since he came back. The reason why he came back is to be Triple H's little bitch and his ass-kissing buddy like Randy Orton goes. I mean, obviously, they're setting up a rematch, however, with the whole thing going into payback. I mean, I also heard, however, the reason why there's talk now. Originally, there was talk Daniel Bryan and Batista were going to go at it at payback, but obviously, Daniel Bryan made the smart move and decided at the last minute to call an audible because I guess they wanted to continue the whole thing with King. Because the thing is, if they would have had that as a match, obviously, Batista would have probably had his little friends help him because he thinks he can't do it all by himself, however. And obviously, he figures his ego is the best of them. So, I mean, like I said, it's time for Batista to go away. It's almost time, like I said, for weeks on end for Stephanie to go away because once again, she shows how much of a conniving little bitch she is by fucking over Daniel Bryan, however, even though Daniel Bryan fought a great match tonight against freaking the ADR, however. But what happens, once again, she'll probably say, oh, I had nothing to do with that. I had nothing to do with that. Here's an idea, Steph. Go fucking away from television. We don't need to see you every week. We're getting tired of seeing your stupid little mug and your bitch boys, husband's boys, and your husband on TV. It's time to bring Vince back to television.
Oh, I believe that is the ending point for all this, to see Vince come back in. As far as Batista, I don't think you have to worry about him being around too much longer. I think his time is very short. If we see more than one more pay-per-view out of him, I'll be absolutely shocked.
Yeah, I will too. And like I said, there was talk, however, like I told you originally after last night, however, that basically, however, he was supposed to be off of television starting tonight, however. Whether that's not, it looks like that's not going to be the case now because they're going to continue the Shield Evolution thing, at least for another pay-per-view, however. Now, my thing was, originally I thought they should have done a War Games match. Do you think they still could do a War Games match maybe for Payback, maybe?
Absolutely. I mean, they could do anything. They own the rights to that. Why they haven't pulled it out, I honestly thought the perfect group to do that for would be a Shield Wyatts. Hopefully they haven't finished whatever they're doing between those two factions. But if they want to do it for Shield Evolution, I wouldn't complain. I think that's a great team to do it as well.
You know what I think they should do? You know what they should do? It should be, well, they had 6-on-3, right? Put maybe Cena and Daniel Bryan into the mix. That's 5. Then you can maybe add a 6th person into the mix. Make it 6-on-6. I mean, you got 3 weeks to build up Payback, obviously. But again, we'll have to wait and see. But like I said, I don't think they did do... I mean, it was like above average, let's just say, but it wasn't the greatest Raw in the world. I mean, next week they're in Greenville, and then they go to the UK in 2 weeks. And obviously, I mean, Triple H is... I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what the crowd in London thinks over there.
The UK is going to be awesome. Greenville is usually one of the worst crowds, though. So next week is probably going to be a stinker. But definitely looking forward to the UK. Yep. JD, as we always like to, your high point, low point for tonight's show.
High point, however, I would say, was the opener. It was pretty good, and the main event was good, too. The low point tonight, again, I mean, I said it just a few minutes ago, the whole Rusev Lana thing, it's just, this thing has become a waste of time, and I think you're going to see before the summer's over, however, or even sometime during the summer eventually, that this guy is going to be just doing jobs on superstars and warm-up matches still. I mean, this guy hasn't done much at all since he came in. All he is he doesn't say much and say anything on the mic. He has his little blonde floozy Lana speak for him, however. And, I mean, I understand they're getting heat wherever they go with the whole Russia thing, but you know what? It's time to tone it down a little bit, if you ask me.
My problem with the whole Rusev thing, I think too many people are giving him blind hate without giving him a chance, man. I mean, look at the size of this guy. There's nobody who's built like this guy. I think he's got amazing physical ability.
He is a monster.
I think their mistake is just making him Russian. I think that's a mistake. He should not just be Russian. Put like a mask on him. Make him a really big monster. You know, make him Abyss.
Yeah, you know what he is? He's like another Kozlov is what he is.
Unfortunately.
Isn't he Bulgarian?
He is Bulgarian, but now he resides in Russia.
Russian. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he's 5'2", 290. You're right. He is big. But you know what?
His thighs are the size of my waist.
How can he be Russian? He speaks Bulgarese.
The more you know, shooting star.
Bulgarese.
All right, JD. Another fantastic call as always, bro. Have a good night. We'll see you all next week. Happy Cinco de Mayo again, and happy Mother's Day to Mrs. JD's mom.
Thank you very much, and happy Mother's Day to all your moms as well, and have a good Cinco de Mayo as well, guys. Talk to you next Monday night.
Take care, dude. Another fantastic call on the Raw Post Show. As always, if you want to call in, give your opinion about tonight's show, feel free to do so because we love hearing from you. Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to get yourself in line. You can join Skype as well, join via Skype as well. And the chat room rolling nicely. You guys. All right, let's take it back to the panelists here. We last talked about our opening matchup. I wanted to do a follow-up of our 20-man battle royal where we saw a new United States champion with Sheamus Dean Ambrose coming up on the short end, not able to retain, ending his longest United States title reign in WWE history. After that match, Triple H comes out and tells the whole Shield faction that they are going to be having another match that night in the main event against the three Wyatts. And this was, it was all right. You know, wasn't the best match that we've seen out of either of these guys, but I'm sure a lot of them are tired after last evening's events and even other things that they did earlier that night. But factoring all that in, I enjoyed it, and I still have not had enough Shield versus Wyatts. I want to see more. After the match, actually before the match even gets to end, Evolution decides to come out, interfere. Bray Wyatt takes advantage of the distraction, hits the Sister Abigail and Roman Reigns for the pin. Evolution continues the attack on the Shield after the match, eventually doing a triple Batista bomb onto Roman Reigns. Payback's a bitch. The scene fades with Evolution standing tall over the fallen Shield members, fist against fist, mocking the Shield. Cool.
It was something. Yeah. Okay. It was okay.
Okay. Drew, how'd you like it?
I liked it, but at the same time, it's kind of like, it looks, I mean, it's just kind of like, eh. I like the idea that they were mocking the Shield. I think that was the only thing I really liked out of the whole thing. The match was just okay, like you said. You know, we've seen a lot better matches out of the two, but, you know, they're probably tired. Yeah, especially Luke and Eric, you know, just interfering in that cage match last night just took everything out of them. But, you know, besides that, it was okay. And I just don't know what to think of, you know. I just want to see if they do. No, we talk about War Games. I kind of want to see a War Games match, but who knows? Who knows? I don't know. Who knows?
Sean.
Kozlov, yeah.
Wonderful night for Team Homeless. How'd you like it?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really good. But, however, I didn't think it was as good as the pay-per-view match that they had
back. Extreme Rule? Oh, no, Elimination Chamber?
Yeah. I thought the chamber match was miles better. But, you know, it is what it is. And Evolution, you can't complain, can you? That theme song still kicks ass.
Yo, how cool are those new Evolution shirts?
I noticed that. Did they walk out of them last night?
They did.
Yep.
Okay, they're old like fucking skeletons.
Whatever, dude. Those shirts are badass.
Very creative.
Yeah, I like them. It just made me wonder if Batista is actually going to stay longer than what everyone says he is. And I know he has other things he has to do.
Man, when he came back, he said he's back for a full-time stay. So, who knows?
Yeah, you know, except I think everyone's like says that. I think Brock Lesnar might have even said that.
Yeah, The Rock said, I'm back and I'm never leaving, or whatever the hell he said.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's just one of those,
Wago, how'd you dig our main event, Wago?
It was okay, but that seemed better, and I really wish they would stop throwing this on free TV, because I'm going to get spoiled by the time they eventually have a big feud. I love the concept of these guys having a huge feud and going, even breaking it up like on and off, but I want some substance behind their matches, not just these throwaway ones. So, I wish there was a little more to it, but it is what it is. As far as the beatdown after the match goes, I'm also sick of seeing Triple H beat down people at the end of the night. It's been overdone at this point. But then again, I enjoyed the year of 2003, so what the fuck am I saying?
I want to pull this out of the chat room. Grapple This Production saying, I want one of those shirts like I want a $40 Willow umbrella. Of course, talking about the Evolution shirts. Have you guys seen that? First off, seeing this ridiculous thing that Jeff Hardy's doing over in TNA, this Willow character, where he has this TNA black and white umbrella. Now they're selling the umbrella for $40.
That's a steal, Peyton. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay.
Now, if they had that fat commentator they used to have try and sell it to me, I might buy it, but...
Don West?
Yeah. Don West
could sell me. Sell me fucking anything. He sold people brown bags full of TNA shit.
Don't they know that they have to spin it like Jerry Seinfeld, and that way it'll get everybody's attention? That's how you sell umbrellas, damn it.
You are
a Seinfeld fan?
Totally lost on me, man. I'm sure it's hilarious.
Seinfeld fans out there will think that that's funny. Everybody else, god damn it.
Yeah, there's one person in the archive listening to this going,
it's Seinfeld himself.
Yeah, I did that. It was all right.
What's the deal with people not laughing at Seinfeld jokes?
What is the deal with Chrisley?
It was okay. All right, Tony, our main event, how was it?
To be fair, I didn't really pay 100% attention to this, but at that point, and usually by the end of Raw, unless it's something really, really interesting to me, and whatever match it is kicks off amazing, I'm usually kind of in the middle of doing something else. So I was sort of half paying attention. What I did see was okay, but not anywhere near as good as their other match, like Sean had said. That's something that I have as a potential match of the year candidate, and this was just a Monday Night Raw match, which, I mean, it's okay for what it was supposed to do, and that's mostly to, you know, beat down the Shield and have another reason for Evolution to come out and get the upper hand. But it's a shame that it had to go to waste with the Wyatt family and the Shield, because they really could have some great matches between those two teams. So I can see why WWE did what they did, but it just wasn't a good enough segment for me to really get behind.
Thank you so much to VixVixVix in the chat room for reminding me of my favorite sign that I saw in the crowd tonight. And I don't know if people even like got it, or they definitely had to have seen it because it was so obvious on the camera side, but people probably had no idea what it was. It was a Squidward head, but it's from a very specific episode of SpongeBob where Squidward gets like plastic surgery or something, so he looks a lot more humanistic. And it was freaking me out. Like, he just kept popping it up really fast. And it was, I don't know. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I saw it for a split second.
What I want to know is, who's sitting at home going, yeah, I'm going to go to Raw tonight. Oh, I know what sign I'll bring. A Squidward head. But not any Squidward head.
The Squidward head.
Well, I think he's trying to match, I don't know if you see the other one that's been going on, is that one Patrick face where he's all big-mouthed?
Oh. Yeah, maybe that's
it. They've been bringing that to a lot of wrestling events last year. So maybe he's trying to make up his own. Now we're going to see a whole sea of the awkward Squidward face.
Fucking wrestling fans, I love you.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, well, with that, let's take ourselves back to the beginning of the show and go through things chronologically here. We had a matchup between Rob Van Dam and Cesaro. Nothing too much to go with here, except we got our weekly reminder that Brock Lesnar conquered the streak, just in case you forgot. Specifically, I forgot, Paul Heyman's client, Brock Lesnar.
What?
That part's important.
That happened? Oh, man, I forgot. My bad.
This match doesn't get a real finish, as Rob Van Dam wins via disqualification. That's after Cesaro continues the beatdown while outside the ring after the referee counted to five. Building a mean streak for Cesaro, but I'm not buying it. I think Cesaro needs a better opponent. Not saying it's Jack Swagger, just someone better. I just don't like Rob Van Dam. Tony?
Yeah, I agree. I just don't like Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, piss on this. Wago?
I actually enjoyed the match, but I would like to see Cesaro have a different opponent. Honestly, I was for pushing him as a face. I kind of don't like him having that sort of turn and then being a heel again. So I'm kind of meh. And his theme music isn't helping me either.
Oh my goodness, it's so bad!
Such a badass character who doesn't need to do much more than kick someone's head in. And then you have that annoying ass siren and the shitty generic rock music. It's like, God, fucking pay a band, get him to do something decent for the guy, or at least give him his old music. That was better.
Let's just get Downstate on it. It'll do it. Is there anybody, like, is there a single person in the chat room or anybody listening that actually likes that song, that actually enjoys it with Cesaro, or even just likes it at all? Because I don't think I would even like it with anybody anymore after hearing it the amount of times I've heard it.
It's okay.
Drew, what'd you think about our little matchup with RVD and Cesaro?
It was all right. Shrug. I've seen better. I've seen worse. It was just okay.
Mr. Walker?
I missed it. I was on the shutter.
That was pretty much the equivalent of the match.
Alright, cool. And yeah, I agree. The theme song's fucking dreadful.
Shrug.
We got an awkward little technical snafu as we have the Wyatt family appear saying, Albany, we're here. And just as they blow out the lantern, it cuts to a commercial break.
That was so awkward. We're here. In the Legends house next week.
In the Legends house next week, they get waxed. They're going to wax their chests. It's
like, what? Chippendales. Yay.
But eventually they come back from commercial. The Wyatt family is in the ring. And Bray Wyatt just, he goes on for like 8 minutes. And I don't even know exactly what he said, but I was just totally entranced. I guess the big thing that he was saying was that he became somebody after his victory last night, and that he did it for all the people who were misunderstood or outcasted. That's exactly what I guess he should say at a night like this, because he is building his cult following, and that all likelihood is the exact kind of people that he's attracting. Sean, did you like our promo that we got from Bray Wyatt tonight?
You just got a believe in the Wyatt family.
Drew?
If you've seen one Wyatt promo, you've seen them all at this point. But hey, they're all fantastic every time, so I'm not going to complain. I liked it.
That was the end of the Wyatt family promo. Wago?
If you thought that I was going to like this promo, then I've got some depressing news for you. I thought it fucking dragged. And I wish I had a mallet to throw at my TV, because I just got bored of this one. There we go. Such mallet. Wow. But, I just really wish the fucking promo had been cut short by a few minutes, and I think it would have saved it for me, but I got bored by the end.
And Tony, how about you, man? Is there someone else here who's positive about this?
You know, I have to go with Wago on this one. I really kind of tuned out midway through. I like Wyatt's promos, and usually they're some of the best on the night, if not the best, but this one did feel a little bit too long, and I really don't know what he said either. He said something about prom queens, I think. And
yes.
Said, I'm sure he went, man, a couple of times. Something, but other than that, I mean, I don't really know. I kind of vaguely remember like bits and pieces of it, and I might even just be piecing them together from other Bray Wyatt promos, but... Like, they cut to Luke Harper looking weird for some shot, and, like, I don't know, this was just an awkward segment. And maybe it would have been better if they had some kind of, like, a one-on-one thing with Cena, and he could reply, or maybe that would have made it that much worse, I don't know.
Oh, but no, you got to tune into main event tomorrow night in order to see John Cena's reply.
Yeah, that's going to happen. There's a selling point to give you to pay attention to the fucking main event. And you know what? They said earlier on this episode of Raw, they did that list of the 10 shows this week that did the best. And of course, it was like, you know, Extreme Rules is number one and the pre-show is number two or something like that. Main event's number 10. And they're like, so can you please watch main event? And then their selling point is, okay, well, because for the next one, there's going to be a John Cena promo. Go ahead and watch it. Okay.
Yeah, that's going to put butts in seats.
Right. It's bad when WWE Countdown beats that, a live show for a main event. People are like, I'd rather watch 10 things Countdown, stuff I've already seen, than see whatever the crap you have on main event.
I'd rather watch shit than that.
You'd rather watch Sean taking his shit from earlier.
Yeah, I was actually about to say that. Or maybe Chris Lee taking his shit at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, just to summarize my point, my biggest issue was it was long, but I didn't understand what the point of the promo was. I was like, okay.
It was a bit meandering, but that's his style, too. He always meanders.
Man.
Dude, you're not supposed to understand anything about Wyatt. His promo's supposed to be, you're supposed to like it.
Talk cryptically, and then whole world in his hands. That's a Wyatt segment.
Man.
Well, we had a random singles match between Cody Rhodes and Ryback. Ryback getting the victory after getting the shell shock when Curtis Axel and Goldust begin fighting outside of the ring, causing the distraction, continuing a reason for Cody Rhodes to have frustrations, and you can only feel that the demise of the Brotherhood is very imminent. Sean, what you got to say about that?
Boo-ins. I actually like Cody Rhodes and Goldust together, and I wanted them to stay together for a very long time. Up until, like, Survivor Series, but that's not going to fucking happen now, is it?
Drew?
I hope they don't turn Cody heel, because I kind of like him as a face. I think there was some potential in that, especially last year when he was extremely over at the time. But, you know, times change. And, I keep on forgetting Ryback actually has a relative spot on the roster still. So
I don't think anybody has Ryback on their team.
I noticed that, and I was kind of like, do I want to, or do I want to be known as that guy who has Ryback on his team? And then you kind of have to weigh some stuff out, and then it's just like, ah, fuck Ryback.
Wait, hey, at least you're not the guy that has Del Rio on his team, right, Tony?
Fuck you, Tony.
Team Fruitless Endeavors.
Oh, Tony, how'd you like this matchup?
Wow, what's the fucking name?
All right, I'm apparently having disconnection issues, too. What match are we talking about right now? We're talking about the...
Cody Ryback.
Cody Ryback, okay, yeah. One thing I thought was really odd about this was they had the finish of the match with Goldust knocking into the turnbuckle. I mean, not the turnbuckle, the ring post. And that was supposed to make Cody lose his balance on top of the ropes, which I don't know. I don't think that really would reverb that much to where he would just be like, what? Now I'm going to get a shell shock. But I don't like the idea of splitting them up. I don't like the idea of Cody Rhodes turning heel. I don't like their theme music. I've hated that since they ever started with that. So there's really no positives to this at all for me. And making Curtis Axel and Ryback look better is another negative too, because that Ryback sucks. They're a horrible team.
Mm-hmm. And their theme sucks too.
Yeah, that's even worse.
It's okay.
I would say it's better than the Cody Rhodes and Goldust one, because at least with the Ryback's one, it's not obnoxious, but the Cody Rhodes Goldust one just, wow!
Okay, at least they've tried to blend the Goldust and Cody Rhodes one. With Ryback's and Curtis Axel, it just looks like they're playing two songs at once.
It does, yes, it does not mesh at all. And like, I agree, like, I see what you're saying about that one being obnoxious, but I think the Ryback's one is equally as annoying and nauseating, just because of, like he said, it sounds like if you took a song, put one in the left ear and one in the right ear. That's all you have going on there. And unlike if it was two Nickelback songs where it would sound exactly the same, it sounds completely against each other.
Yeah, there are people on YouTube that do the mashups. They do it so much better.
Jim Johnson, you was totally on crack for that one.
Remember the mashup they did for Rated RKO and how fucking lazy it was?
Oh, God, that was so bad. That yeah, literally was just like the kind of other shit that you see on YouTube where people are like, listen to my remix. I played 2 seconds of this song and then 3 seconds of that one. And
yeah, it was literally play, pause, play the other one, pause, play the other one, pause.
Yeah,
they didn't even like try to match the time signatures or anything. So it'd be like going really fast and all of a sudden slow down for Randy Orton's theme, then fast for Edge's again.
I think that probably is the worst out of all of them.
Well, now that we went on that tyrant, Mr. Wago, any thoughts for Cody and Ryback?
I thought the ending of this match was stupid. If you've ever set up a ring, you know that the post is knocking into a big steel post is not going to make Cody Rhodes wobble and go, oh no, I landed in a shell shock. So that was dumb as hell. So not a big fan of the ending, and this whole feud is dull.
Indeed. All right, I just want to remind everyone out there listening, if you got some opinions about tonight's Raw, not necessarily about Cody Rhodes and Ryback, but about anything that went down tonight, our new United States champion, the continuing development between The Shield and Evolution, or whatever the heck else happened, dial in area code 760-512-7247, or with Skype by pressing the Skype icon at the top of the page, and of course the chat room rolling as well. Grapple This Production saying that Rhodes song sounds like a throwback to the conceptual Canadian rock band Yes. But doubt half of us even know who Yes are. I do.
It's over my head.
I just got reminded by another kind of bad mix. It's the Big Show in Jericho.
Oh, I love that mix. Are you kidding?
I thought it was dumb. It just sounded like someone was playing Big Show's music and there's this guy that's just interrupting constantly to get his two cents in.
And then there's Jericho, don't forget about him.
Well, whatever. All right. Well, let's move on forward to our Cinco de Mayo celebration.
See.
With Los Matadores and El Torito. They're in the ring. What were they going back and forth trying to figure out the pronunciation of? Like he was putting a Universe. J before something.
WWE Universe.
Universe, Juniverse, or whatever.
Oh my god.
Then
Mexican.
El Torito was throwing stuff out to the crowd. What was it, candy? I couldn't make out what it was.
Yeah.
Eventually they get interrupted by a 3-man band and Dylan. And I swear it happened. We had a slight moment of Jinder Mahal as a face when he comes out to them and says, "Hey, you're in America. Speak English." And it's followed up with a USA chant. Awesome. Congratulations, Jinder Mahal. You got a USA chant. Even with your turban on. That's absolutely amazing. All right, get your guys' thoughts about our little Cinco de Mayo celebration we had here. Drew?
The WWE Juno Super, that's enough. Yeah, I liked it. As dumb as it is, this feud is honestly not that bad. Not as bad as what I thought it'd be. It's actually kind of funny. And Jinder Mahal getting USA Chain, you know, enough said. I think I've seen it all at this point.
I just read something in the chat room. He says, I'd call in, but the only thing that I would have to contribute is the missed opportunity to celebrate Cinco de Mayo by having either Big Show or Mark Henry sitting on El Torito and or Hornswoggle until candy came spilling out of their lifeless corpses.
That's pretty cool.
I'm okay with that. That's PG, right?
Sounds like a new gimmick match.
That's pretty cool. I like it.
Sean, did you like our continuing midget fest?
I love midgets. Midgets are ace. I reckon midgets should be aired once every 3 days.
I really hope this ends with Peter Dinklage as a special guest Raw host.
I have to say, that midget referee last night needs a full-time job.
Peter Dinklage is Raw.
There's only one midget that deserves a full-time job, and that's Micro Cole.
I don't know. JB Elf was pretty cool. Wago, how'd you dig it?
I didn't watch it. I needed a few things to skip, and Tony said to skip this one. So.
Oh, well, he was wrong.
Oh, okay.
This was good.
Tony, why'd you tell him to skip it?
Well, for one, Los Matadores don't know that they're not French. Did you hear them going, oh, the whole fucking time?
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Gosh, like, okay. Can you not have a sense of humor or something? Gosh.
So I don't know. This is weird. I'll give them credit. Last night they ended up pulling out one hell of a match compared to what I thought that they were going to, and this was just a total 180. This was so stupid.
But they got all their energy out last night.
They did. The whole Juniverse thing. I mean, it's kind of funny in like on paper, but the crowd was totally not buying into that. And the Jinder Mahal face turn finally happened, but they weren't able to capitalize on it.
Yeah, why did you tell me to skip over Jinder's face turn? You're such a douche.
Because we see it almost every week, but...
No. I finally get to see it for once, and you're just a dick, Tony.
Well, with that, let's open up the phone lines to another caller. Call it in through the Skype line, Mr. Brian the Brain. Brian, how you doing, dude?
Good, how you guys doing?
Absolutely tremendous, dude. Happy Cinco de Mayo. What'd you think about tonight's Raw?
I thought it was okay. It was good. I mean, you know, some good matches overall, and I think we're going to build up to a good payback, let's hope, for June 1st in Chicago.
Is it June 1st or Yoon 1st?
Yoon 1st. I think that's what they said.
Well, what'd you like from tonight's show, man?
Let's see. The Wyatts versus Shield was good. I like that. I also like Wade Barrett, you know, bad news, keeping his title. That was good. Sheamus winning the U.S. title. That was good. There was some down moments, you know, the whole Cobra to Ziggler does not work for me. Him, that's just wrong.
Well, at least there was no Emma Cobra.
Oh.
Whatever that she was calling that thing.
So yeah, that Cobra like a champ.
All right, well, let me ask you specifically, what did you hate tonight, then?
Ooh. Oh, the 3MB Hornswoggle El Torito. I don't like El Torito. I like Hornswoggle. I just don't like El Torito.
His name's Dylan.
So, you dislike the talented midget. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
I think he's just racist against people with tails.
Yeah. I'm racist against bulls.
Yeah. Whoa.
Hey. Time kind of takes offense to that.
Brian, did you catch the pay-per-view last night or the special event last night?
I only caught about half of it. I wasn't home, so I caught like the replay, and then I caught like John Cena's match and everything after that, so I didn't catch the first half.
Did you like it though?
Yeah, I did. I did like the little kid coming out and scaring Cena. That was good. I did like Daniel Bryan beat Kane. That was good. Emma retaining. That was good. I mean, not Emma. Paige.
Paige.
Thank goodness it wasn't Emma. Why did I call her Emma? No. Yeah, Paige is good. I definitely do like what I'm seeing out of Paige, and that's she's gonna be a very good diva wrestler. So that's good.
Gonna be, still is.
Yeah,
already is. I should say. All right, Brian. Let's wrap this.
She already is.
Let's wrap this up. Your highest point from the show tonight and your lowest point from the show tonight.
Lana and Alexander Rusev is my highest point of the night.
What?
And lowest point.
Yes. What? Another Rusev believer. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. And my low point is El Torito.
Yes, Brian likes potatoes.
It's a potato, russet potato. Yeah, he looks like a potato. It's our joke. We do that. All right, Brian, another fun call as always, dude. Have a good night. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Celebrate it with lots of margaritas in the few minutes. Actually, it's not Cinco de Mayo anymore.
It's right. Not Cinco. It's Seis de Mayo now.
And that's nowhere near as fun. Well, have a good night anyway, dude.
You too.
All right, another fun call as always, folks. If you want to call and give your opinions about tonight's show, the phone number, area code 760-512-7247, and of course you can also dial it in on Skype just like Mr. Brian the Brain did, and of course the chat room rolling nicely. Grab another comment here from Grapple This Production saying Emma can cobra me anytime she wants.
Yummy.
He said more than that, but I don't
think
he said
it. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and cut it off there. That's certainly not PG.
No, but this show is the farthest thing from PG, if you really think about it.
It was funny, though.
Yeah.
Well, what was also funny was our new Bo Leave promo. Showing some support for the American troops, which is certainly heartwarming, but that was nothing compared to the one that we got last night with the pregnancy test.
There's people who hate on this stuff, and I don't understand why. This is gold.
This is amazing. Yeah. I was honestly hoping that we would have Bo Dallas appear in the same segment that Adam Rose did tonight, but unfortunately that did not happen. We're just going to have to keep waiting for the Bo magic to show up.
Yeah.
Nothing? No?
Yeah. It's okay.
Well, anybody have anything they want to add about the BOMO?
The BOMO? Don't stop believing in Bo for the win. Fucking Bo Dallas, man. God. You bet I didn't do this a year and a half ago when they randomly put him in a Rumble match.
Yeah, that was weak. What a waste.
I hope he stays on SmackDown.
Aww.
What? What's SmackDown at this point?
I haven't watched SmackDown in like a year.
Yeah, that's the point.
And now what sucks is I'm going to have to start watching SmackDown for the Fantasy League scores.
Yeah. Peyton has to do extra work.
Yeah.
Kind of want to see a Bomo-Jomo feud now.
Oh, well, next we get Mr. Potato Head. Well, first, Miss Lana, the Ravishing Russian, comes out. She does the same thing she did at Extreme Rules last night, where she calls out the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin. Nice cheap heat. I figured they had to go that route eventually.
His name is Pooh.
She introduced Rusev, not Alexander Rusev, just Rusev, he's going by now. When she first said that, I was like, was that a mistake? Did she purposely only say Rusev? And then his Titantron said it, and then the name bar that came across the bottom. Yep, shortened to just Rusev now, but pretty much completely same guy, same attitude, and same squash match against Kofi Kingston. Short work of him eventually submitting to the accolade. Drew? How you feeling about Rusev at this point?
What's up with Rusev? What's up with WWE and just changing everyone, shortening everyone's name to one word? I'm more worried about that.
Because wrestling fans are dumb and they can't remember two
apparently.
Words.
Apparently. You know, I see the potential in Rusev. I'm not a complete hater of him, but I'm not really impressed thus far. I kind of want to see what they're able to do with him. Because, you know, we saw something like this 2 years ago with Ryback, and you know we saw how that bombed. You know, he isn't gonna get the Goldberg chance, thank God, but you know I just want to see what they're able to pull out with Rusev whenever they actually give him non-squash matches. Then I can make a full analysis, but until then, Lana is my favorite diva on the roster by far.
Sean, how do you view the Bulgaries over there in Wales?
Well, Vladimir Kozlov 2.0,
so
that's what we're calling him over here.
He's so fucking terrible.
Don't even give him a chance. Oh my goodness.
I give him till Survivor Series before he gets the can. Bumming and jobbing and fucking.
Before he gets Lana's can?
She looks like a tranny, anyways.
What? Wago.
So, if he turns face, would he be a sweet potato?
Did it?
That's all I've got as input.
Well, okay.
Don't watch.
Yeah, this is really annoying about the switching the name thing, especially because it's not even like it's difficult to pronounce or anything like that. I mean, not like Biggie Langston and Antonio Cesaro was difficult either, but fuck, Alexander Rusev, he can't be Alexander Rusev? Why not? Why, if Michael Cole can call him in Alexander Rusev, then I'm pretty
sure. I think that was just habit. I don't think they're going to be doing that. I think it's going to be a directive for them to stop it.
Vince McMahon's flipping out backstage. He's not Alexander, damn it, that ruins it.
No, my vision, nah.
Oh, crap, now they know that he's Alexander. It's a shame we wouldn't have thought of this months ago when we fucking debuted him if we had a problem with the goddamn name. I hate these squash matches. I am not as big on Alexander Rusev as I was before. Not that I was the biggest supporter to begin with, but I was kind of hoping by now that he would have shown me something else. And he's done the exact same thing every squash match. So that is not only getting old fast, I'm pretty sure it's already there. I don't want to see him beating Kofi Kingston another two times or fighting Justin Gabriel or Zack Ryder next week or anything like that. I really could not care less. And if they don't have any kind of a maybe I wouldn't say some confidence in him or whatever, but if they can't put him into something that has more depth, even in the same kind of realm as what Adam Rose is going to be doing, it seems, if Rusev can't pull that off, why is he on the main roster anyway?
Because he has Lana.
Bring Lana up and just have her come out and, I don't know, walk in a circle. She does that well.
They need to appeal to the potato demographic.
That is a big demographic. I mean, Idaho numbers are down.
Sioux City, Iowa's numbers are up, though.
All right, guys. We had a matchup between Daniel Bryan and Alberto Del Rio. We talked about Daniel Bryan's events throughout the night, but we didn't really get into this match. It was long. It was boring. But if there's one thing of enjoyment I got to take out of it, it was this point where Daniel Bryan pulled down one of Alberto Del Rio's knee pads. And I got to notice that Alberto Del Rio has the most girly knees I've ever seen. They're tiny and dainty. And it brings me joy.
I just picture you sitting there just being like giggly after saying that.
I really want
joy. It's like, so what's your high point, low point? Del Rio's knees are my high point.
I don't know if you guys caught it. When Daniel Bryan did his yes lock at the end, he applied it in the way that Sin Cara used to do his armbar finisher, where he twists around him and then slams him into the mat. I don't know if that was a little bit of a shout out or a jab or whatever it was. But yeah, go around to you guys. What'd you think about this matchup that we had? I'll start with you, Tony, because you have both of these guys on your team and I know how much you like them.
Yeah. As soon as they said that Del Rio was going to face him, I was just like, oh, good, I don't lose any points. But, oh, man, that means Del Rio is here. similar to what we said earlier about RVD, I just don't like him. So this was as good as it could have been for a Del Rio match.
I just want to take this out of the chat room. Grapple this, saying, what the hell was up that your heavyweight champion is running from another character? Name another time when a face champ has done that. I'll tell you why he has. He had his wife with him. He wanted to make sure he got her away to safety. Plus, it's Kane. He's a monster. But mostly because of his wife. Otherwise, I would agree with you. If it was John Cena, of course, he would stand there strong. But if it was John Cena and Nikki, maybe he would try to pull her away to safety.
Hey, but judging by Extreme Rules last night, John Cena runs away from a lot of stuff. Even little kids.
True, true. Very true. We had Wade Barrett with his first title defense against Big E getting his rematch. And it was pretty much the end of Big E there. Wade Barrett gets a clean victory with the Bullhammer elbow and retains his Intercontinental title. Long may he reign. And that's all I got to go with that. Tony?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but has he not had that t-shirt before? Did they really wait until after Big E lost his title before coming out with a new
shirt? I don't know. That shirt is ugly, too.
I thought he was wearing pads like the Shield wear at first, like to make it easier from when he smacks himself in the chest or something. And then I was just like, oh, there's a t-shirt. Oh, I guess that would have sold better when people gave a shit about Big E and you didn't start jobbing him out to everybody.
When was it? Was that the same red and black one he was wearing last night?
Was he wearing that? I don't remember if he was wearing that last night. It might have been. I don't know. But, of course, now that he's not the champion, it's even less of a focal point on him. So I can't imagine that really selling that well. Good thing Bad News Barrett retained, though. I like Bad News Barrett better.
Indeed. Sean?
Bad News Barrett for the win. I just don't like his theme song. The whole God Save the Queen thing needs to go.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-boom! Drew?
I love his theme.
I like the music. I just don't like the whole God Save the Queen part.
But you don't like the Queen?
Oh, fuck the Queen.
Whoa!
I really want to hear Sean sing a version that says that instead.
God fuck the Queen.
Drew, please.
Anyways, you know what happened? Big E has fallen apart, and I blame it when they took the bass out of his entrance music. That ruined it for me. I'm still on that bandwagon. That ruined so much. And I have I still have confidence that they could do something with Big E, but I don't think they will. I think we've seen at least for a while, the last of Big E's quote-unquote push. Maybe they could bring him down to NXT to maybe work on some things when they get back down here. But yeah, I could see much with Big E, I think, from here on out. It was a nice try. But, hey, at least here's going to be the downfall of Bad News Barrett once he has the Intercontinental Championship 5 months from now.
Wago. Oh, take over on this match.
Okay, Drew is right. There is something missing from Big E. It's his baby oil. I mean, ever since I got rid of his baby oil, he's not been the same guy.
You're right. I totally forgot about that. Same with Randy Orton, too.
They're just stripping him of everything like they did with Sandow. He's got no oil, he's got bass in his music. They've just ruined him. But seriously, though, this match was actually not too bad, and I'm enjoying the reign of Wade Barrett.
I love his new entrance. With the shoulder pad cloak and the pyro.
Yeah, sweet. And you know what? It's amazing how a little bit of pyro just makes someone seem that much more of a big deal.
Absolutely. We had, I love this, a special Mother's Day tribute starring Mr. T. When I first heard them saying, here's a special for Mother's Day, I was like, please tell me they're having Mr. T involved in this. And sure enough, they did. I was hoping it was going to be something new. Like, they got Mr. T to record something different, but no, it was just like a dubstep remix of his Hall of Fame speech, which that's cool. It was fun to relive it. And the little video package they put along with it with, like, what was that? Brodus Clay's mother and the Bridge Club came out and dancing at WrestleMania a few years ago and a few other things. That was cool. It was appreciative. So, I don't know. You guys got anything you want to add to that?
Better than Miguel's dub setup for an outro.
True that. Just want to again reiterate, since it's not going to be Mother's Day again until after, or we're not going to have another show until after Mother's Day, I should say. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there who are listening. And if you aren't a mother and you have a mother, be sure to wish her a happy Mother's Day as well.
Or you could be a mother lover, like the Lonely Islands.
Indeed. We had Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger out. Zeb Coulter's newest sign is a deportation list with the likes of Cesaro, Sheamus, Paige, Emma, pretty much anyone who's a common foreigner you would expect to see on that list. However, before he gets to say too much, they're interrupted by our newest partier, Adam Rose, who I'm a little disappointed with this debut. The crowd was really flat for him. He didn't really do anything besides kick Jack Swagger in the face. I like Adam Rose. I've really dug what I've seen with him on NXT, but I hope he's going to be able to captivate the crowd better than he did this night. I mean, they were singing his whoa-oh thing, but that's because that's catchy. You know, they're not going to get completely over with just a catchy tune. That'll get the song over, but not him. We saw how that worked out for Fandango.
Mike, don't be a lemon. Be a rosebud.
I am a rosebud. I like him. I guess I want him to do better. I like him, and I want him to do better. Sean, I know you're a Rosebud.
I am a Rosebud.
But this is the whole Chris Jericho troll all over again. That's where it is. Mark my words, you'll be winning IC championships, US championships, somewhere down the line.
Indeed.
Probably next month.
Drew?
You've seen Citizen Kane, right? You know Rosebud from that? Yep,
yes.
He is. Adam Rose is the Rosebud. And I think that's all I need to say.
Good input, Drew.
Hey, what can I say?
Way to go.
Way to go, champ. Anyway, as far as my opinion on... as far as my opinion on Adam Rose's debut, I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It was a bit of comedy, and I got to see Jack Swagger get kicked in the face. It's two good things.
That a kick in the head. Tony?
A couple things I thought were interesting about Zeb's sign, his promo in general, too. One thing was, I like how he said, Emma's stupid dance is poisoning the minds of our children.
Yes.
Specifically, that was, like, the most offensive thing out of everything.
He ain't wrong.
Right. And how funny is it that a lot of the people on the roster are so unimportant that they didn't even bother putting them on the list, like Justin Gabriel and Yoshitatsu and Sin Cara. He's just like, nah, fuck that. We'll have Paul Heyman on the list,
yeah.
Even though he's a fucking American. But these guys, who the fuck, nobody's going to care about them. We're not going to say their name in a promo. That's giving them more fucking recognition than anything else. I don't really think that this was the best introduction for Adam Rose. Like you said, the song is over, mm-hmm. So that's one positive. But that song needs to translate to Adam Rose, just the same as Lana being over doesn't translate to Rusev, or people singing Fandango's theme doesn't translate to him, like you had mentioned before, too. So that's a shame. Hopefully he can do more in the future, and this isn't going to be something that happens week in and week out, where Jack Swagger gets humiliated because of Adam Rose or something like that. Again, same as the Rusev thing, you need more depth than that, and if they actually give more of a storyline to it, which it seems like they will, then this could work out. But another thing that I think is going to be odd is you need a lot more people to make that party look important. And it might have been better on NXT, where you've got a smaller arena and you've got a smaller stage and entrance area and all that. You get the bigger arenas and bigger stadiums and everything like that, and you have 10 people, that's not going to look like a huge party.
By the way, I haven't confirmed this, but did you guys catch who one of the partiers was?
No, none of them look familiar to me, at least.
The one in the graduation cap was JTG.
Really?
That's what I've heard.
Wow, how... But he's really fallen far, hasn't he?
You were going to say how the mighty have fallen, and then you're like...
how high was JTG ever? What are you talking about?
Yeah,
he really hasn't fallen that much.
Man, this is a positive for JTG. This is going to be the big things for him.
Yeah, he finally got TV time. I bet Kay will probably take what he can.
How bad is that? It's like, hey, remember how you used to almost be somebody that everybody wanted to be a tag team champion, and you constantly would say in interviews that you were expecting that you're going to win the Intercontinental title and all this other kind of stuff. After about 3 years, can you just be like some dude in a fucking cap and gown? We're not even going to make sure that the camera sticks on you. Nobody cares, dude. That's awful. He's a placeholder for an outfit, and that is it.
You think they're actually going to realize that they have JTG under contract now, but he went out there and fired him finally?
They're going to replace him with a standee that they put the outfit on instead.
Oh, my goodness. Pull something out of the chat room here. Dutch really – this is from Grapple This Productions, by the way. Dutch needs to go ahead and get a new member to the Real Americans, as he has been teasing on Twitter for the past month. Swagger as a solo is a true lemon. True that. Well, let me ask you guys, who do you hope to see as a new member of the Real Americans if this does indeed happen? Sean?
Titus O'Neil.
Why?
I think he's still got some momentum behind him, and he's, you know.
Yeah, whatever happened to that? They gave him this big like new brute thing, and now he hasn't been seen in like a month.
Well, he kicked Sheamus' ass last week, didn't he? But then he got bro kicked, and yeah.
I completely forgot that even happened. Whoops. See,
yeah, it was like he kicked Sheamus' ass, but then he didn't.
And then it got a race, and then Sheamus became United States champion. So
I'm still stunned by it. Tiebreaker titles with Neil or
I'd give it a shot.
I don't know. Run out of ideas here.
Drew, how about you?
Darren Young.
Seriously?
The man who plays Darren Young is gay, not Darren Young.
No, I'm pretty sure Darren Young is gay too. I'm pretty sure they brought that into his character.
Oh, well then. Oh, man. God, that's awkward. I didn't know. You know, that's a good question. I don't really know because I feel like there's not that many Americans left on the roster that's not.
Jeez, Drew.
What? Hey, don't be player. I'm just saying. I don't know. Skip me. I don't care. I think the Real Americans is done anyways.
All right. Tony, who would you have as a new member to the Real Americans?
I actually have a post about this on Smark Out Moment, but I'll give you one of the three names that I threw out there. Sawyer Fulton.
No, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, that's him.
And who's Sawyer Fulton?
He's one of the NXT guys. He's a
I was asking Drew.
Yeah. Oh, you're the one of the NXT guys. But,
yeah. Oh, go ahead, Tony.
Finish my sentence. It was a big... What is the rest of that, Drew?
Big E.
Yeah, he's one of these, you know, the big strapping kind of guys. He looks like he's from the Midwest sort of area. And they even had him wearing, like, spandex at some point or something. And stupid, like, suspenders and everything like that. So he needs some kind of a repackaging. And I could see him and Swagger being a good combination. Two tall, huge guys that kind of seem like the type of people that would work with their hands all the time. That real American spirit. You know, get your hands dirty kind of mentality. And I think that Dutch could do a good job giving him some kind of direction.
I think they had to change his name. His last name, at least.
Why? What's wrong with Fulton?
Oh, no, Dutch. What the hell his name is?
Coulter?
I don't even know anymore, dude.
True.
Clearly just, not.
Just, I don't just, want the NXT anymore. Stop. Who's the guy with the cowboy hat?
Just stop.
Calm down, Drew and you.
Wago, who would you replace in the Real Americans?
There's only one Real American that's listed on the roster, and that's Hulk Hogan. I have no idea who they're going to do. I mean, honestly, I didn't realize how much of a melting pot the roster's becoming, so it was a lot of foreign guys who are left doing nothing. So as far as Americans go, there's not many to pick from. Fuck. Zack Ryder, he's not doing anything.
Yeah, sure. Why not? All right, guys. Well, with that, let's go ahead and head into the last bit of business we got as far as our Raw coverage, where we do the good, the bad, and the ugly. For the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we all recap what we thought was the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most embarrassing part of the show if you had some friends in the room with you that perhaps didn't know wrestling and you had to explain them, yeah, I like this. Oh, well, maybe not that. Let's go around and get you guys good, bad, and ugly. Drew, why don't you start us off?
Ooh, no, that's a bad choice. See, the good, I'm gonna go with Sheamus winning the title. Or the match in general. I thought it was a good way to, you know, start with the first match. So next, the bad. I'm gonna go with Adam Rose. I didn't think it was anything too impressive. And the ugly. I didn't think there was anything too bad on the show. To be honest, it was just an okay show. There was nothing really too bad. I think everything was about average. If I had to pick one thing, the ugly might just be Daniel Bryan and Del Rio. To be honest with you, or maybe it's just the whole Daniel Bryan Kane thing. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Sean, you're good, bad, and ugly.
The good, the six-man tag. The bad. Let's see. The bad has to be the midgets. And the worst has to be Breeze acting.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, that was pretty ugly. That was just atrocious. Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
All right, for my good, I'm going to have to go with the six-man tag, and that was a hard choice because there's not that much good overwhelmingly struck out for me to pick from. As far as bad goes, I'm going to have to say Bray Wyatt's promo, just because it drags. It was the only point in the show, but I really just totally phased out of the product, so that's definitely the bad. And as far as the ugly goes, Bree screaming, ah, ah, stop him. Ah!
Ah!
Fuck me.
It's the new chant, you know. First there was yes, and then there was no, and then there's yes again. Now it's gonna be ah, ah, ah.
Fuck it. Davis Mash would love that chant. The whole fan is going
Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly for this week.
I'm gonna try to pick some different ones. I'm gonna say the good is the Battle Royal. Even though Dean Ambrose lost, and he lost to somebody who I really didn't hope would win, I still think it was entertaining. The bad, during the Battle Royal, Big Show slapped Heath Slater's ass. And that was just, what? Why did that happen?
He's his butt boy.
He literally just walks over, gives him a slap on the ass, and I think it was JBL said, good game.
Oh, God. But was it slapping ass a coach would get to a player? Like, yeah, good job out there, son.
It's one of those. No, he, like, you could hear like, pah, like, oh. And Slater seemed like he actually that was like, ow, fuck, that hurt, because it's Big Show. I mean, that's the WMD to your ass. The ugly Rusev, the moldy potato, and the fact that we still haven't seen him against Big E in a match to figure out who has the weirdest body shape.
And the ugly.
That was the ugly.
Oh. What was the bad?
The bad was Big Show slapping Heath Slater.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't be most embarrassed about that, really?
No. Okay. At least they made fun of it.
Touche. All right, well, that brings it around to me. For my good, bad, and ugly, the good, I'm going to say, is Jinder Mahal's face turn and getting the crowd to chant USA, USA. Congratulations, Jinder. We always believed in you. You made it. The bad is Rusev's name change. I just don't get it. Why they even bother doing that? What difference is that really going to make? Now it's are they going to save ink because they don't have to type out the full person's name on the programs? Is that it? I actually wouldn't be surprised if that is it. My ugly is going to be that whole Cinco de Mayo celebration segment. That was just atrocious. Yeah. So, with that, guys, we have one final thing to do before we wish y'all a good evening, and that is to let all the hosts here take a few moments to let you all out there know about the things going on in their world that you can check out besides this very show here. So, Mr. Drew, why don't you start us off?
Well, I will start off by talking about Sports Talk Weekly, which is going to be on tomorrow night. Is it at 9 o'clock still, Mr. Payton?
Yes, it is.
Still at 9 o'clock. I will not guarantee my participation because I have some stuff I have to do tomorrow, but I might be on there to contribute to the sports, the madness, and everything of that nature. And also, there is a Twitter page called Sport Talk Weekly without the S. And the Drew Crew forever and fuck Tony's team.
Mr. Sean Walker.
Oh, skip me. I just want to go to bed.
Oh, okay. Mr. Wago.
All right, for all your mixed martial arts needs, you can go to udmma.com. That's Unanimous Decision MMA. Facebook.com/UDMMA. Twitter.com/UDMMA. UDMMA. And also, check out Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio. It's a monthly show that we do. You can find all information out by going to Facebook.com/AddictedAnimeFans and AddictedAnimeFans.tumblr.com.
And Tony.
Well, if you want to send positive vibes my way and negative vibes towards the Drew Crew, then you can check me out, smarkoutmoment.com. The podcast for that is Smack Talk, which you can find on youtube.com/smarkoutmoment, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. I'm on Bleacher Report. Anthony Mango is where you'll find me there, obviously. And for everything else, under a Mango Tree, like Fanboys Anonymous and, just God knows how many other things, go to Facebook and Twitter.com/AMangoTree and Tony Mango, and you'll find it all there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a tremendous night. Cinco de Mayo, indeed. Long day for me. Happy to be getting to sleep very soon, but always a good time with you guys. And if you had a good time, please continue joining us every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw here on Mega Powers Radio for the Raw post show. Easily find us www.megapowersradio.com. But hey, if for any reason you cannot be here on Monday night, we're easy to find in an archive means as well. First off, you can go to smarkoutmoment.com to easily find all the information about the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on YouTube, we're all over the dang place. So if you want to hear us, we are there. And please also, if you're checking out Mega Powers Radio or Smark Out Moment, check out all the other awesome content there as well, because I'm sure if you're a wrestling fan, or even if you're just a fan of entertainment, you'll find something delicious there for your senses to enjoy. And until next week, folks, I'm Mike Payton, for Tony Mango, for Drew White, for Sean Wang. Freudian slip there. For Sean Walker. I don't even know who I have left. For everybody here, we'll see y'all next time here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio.